Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, what's happening, Rush Nation? It is the flagship show. It is another podcast from us. And you can see if you're watching this on the video, I'm not joined by Stocks this week. Stocks is, I'm sure you heard last week, was pretty unwell. And he's not done any better this week. So he is on IR for this week. But don't worry, I'm not alone. I've got an amazing guest. I've got one of my absolute favorite people in the industry, one of my very, very close friends as well. So really pleased he's come in and helped me out in a jam here. So for those of you that don't know, he is the head honcho, I guess, of the Fordo Media Company and one of the trio with good friends of the show, Nick and Mark. It is Jack Humphrey. Most of you will know who he is. If you don't, then you're missing out. Jack, welcome back to 5 Yard Rush. Thanks for bailing me out. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all good. That was a lovely introduction. I'm going to remind Nick that he has to introduce me like that every week on the show going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's only fair. I mean, like, listen, you get to introduce him as Adam Peaty, so, like, he should definitely return the favour.
Yeah, no, he should. He should. If he turns up, to be fair, he doesn't. Half the time he doesn't turn up. So, I love you, Nick.
He's too busy winning at DFS at the moment, isn't he? So he's just loving life too much.
He is.
He's enjoying himself far too much at the moment. But it's good to have you here. I think I'll get the read out of the way, and then we'll get a bit more into it. So this week's show is brought to you, as always, by Manscaped. Listen, we're at that time of the year now where people are thinking about Christmas presents, and talked about it before, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is an elite product. But let's talk about the hedge trimmer. It's a really, really great tool. Great for maintaining your beard. So you can have a beard as luscious as Jack's on the screen, or you can have one slightly more trimmed like mine because you can't deal with it being that full. Either way, the hedge trimmer will allow you to maintain that beard at great length, and you can look just as beautiful as Jack and I. So if you've got a nearest and dearest, or you've got friends who need a bit of help in that department, check out manscaped.com. With the code 5yards, you get 20% off plus free global shipping. So do check out manscaped.com for all the goodies there, and you get 20% off absolutely everything. So do take advantage. So welcome back. It's been a while. Since we've last spoken, you've launched a new show. We mentioned it at the top, Fordo Media. You start with the golf, and then you've moved back into NFL, which is great. It's a much needed area, focusing more on DFS. But for those who perhaps haven't heard the show, mainly for those probably internationally, what is the show? What do you kind of break down? What are some of the things you're talking about at the moment?
So basically, we wanted to move away. We all agreed in the off season that we didn't want to be a pick show. There's a lot of content out there at the minute, like pick shows, and that's fine. You know, it's not a dig at anyone. Like, there's some really great shows that do picks and plays and things like that. But we all agreed as three hosts that we wanted to move into a different direction. So we just want to be a strategy show and teach people how to play DFS. That's it, you know, like, and by teaching people, you know, we've had some successful people. A friend of our show, David Bailey, he finished 33rd in the Millie Maker the other week and won $2,500. Like, amazing. You know, like, and it, you know, he's put that down to lessons that he's learned from us and things like that. So, you know, that's all we basically want to be, is just a strategy show. And, you know, between me, Mark, and Nick, we've been playing DFS for about 15 years between the three of us. So there's a lot of knowledge there, and, you know, we've got multiple takedowns between us and things like that. So, yeah, we believe, you know, there's a gap in the market, and we wanted to exploit it, so to speak.
I couldn't agree more. And I think this is where you and I get on so well. We went to the NFL game in London together, and we talked about how, you know, again, as you say, it's nothing against picks. And I said this on yesterday's strategy podcast that I've just started doing, for that reason of, there is so many things, and like, you could tell people to pick players up and not pick players up and all of this, right? And I think it's fine, but ultimately it doesn't help people become better fantasy players. And as I said on yesterday's show, the whole point of my show yesterday was exactly that. Giving people the tools to gateway off our content, ironically, yeah, into other things and becoming more successful. And yours is exactly the same. And both you and I hate groupthink. We hate the fact that people tend to look for approval from others and follow, yep, other people's picks, because it becomes obvious. And actually, to people like you and I, we exploit that, because you can see what people are doing. You can see the trends they're following. You can probably guess the cheat sheets or the guides that they're following. Yep. Yep. You know what their strategy is going to be, and you gain that advantage. And it's about being contrarian, coming up with something different, doing something different is going to yield a better return in the long run. Yes, you might suffer some short-term losses and some short hits, but ultimately, yeah, it's getting better, right? And I think that's what you and I fundamentally agree on 100%, but I think you execute it so well in DFS because your plays are so, and your prop bets as well. You've had some monster prop bets this season that you've hit, haven't you, where, yeah, you've been so contrarian to groupthink and public opinion.
Yeah, like you mentioned the bets there. If you go back to week two of our show, I'll just give it a little plug now. Touchdowns for Doe, everyone.
Do it.
Just going, go back to week two, listen to that show. I mean, that's the good thing with all of our shows as well. They're timeless. You know, you can go back and listen to every single one, and, you know, there's something you'll learn on every single episode. But in week two, that was the week I had the Tony Jones hit. He went in for two touchdowns. I had the bet on it, 125-1. But there was a process behind getting to that bet, which is, you know, which I explained that in the week two show. I saw he got elevated off the practice squad. Their running back depth chart at that time, they had no Alvin Kamara. The running back depth chart was Javonte Williams. And that was about it. So it was like Tony Jones. I mean, Javonte Williams was never going to get 100% of the workload. That's, you know, never going to happen. So Tony Jones, there was a pathway there for him to see some work and potentially get into the end zone. And thankfully for me, he got into the end zone twice. I did luck out a bit. Javonte got injured in the game. Jamal Williams, sorry, I keep saying Javonte, yeah, Williams. That's the Broncos one. But yeah, Jamal Williams did get injured in the game. So yeah, I lucked out a little bit, but, you know, the process was behind it. And I explained that in the week two show, like I say, but literally you could go back over any one of our shows through these 8 weeks and you will learn something, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think even if you have never played DFS before, especially if you've never played DFS before, or if you've been playing for a while, but you're not cashing regularly enough. I think that's the key, right? Is ultimately, don't follow just what people pick. It's looking at what the process is behind it. And that's how you build long-term success. Because if you can understand the game that you're playing and the margins and errors that you can find, especially the edges, by moving away from groupthink and coming up with something different and contrarian, yeah, yep, you're not going to cash every week and you're not going to win every week. But ultimately, when you do win, you'll win bigger and you'll have a much better margin of success. So completely agree. And I think one of the things that you're doing at the moment that's almost like a public service, to big it up a little bit, is the fact that you're highlighting betting companies and the offers that they're putting out. And I don't want to spoil too much because you cover this in much greater detail in your show and people should, yeah, go and listen to it. But you're highlighting that there were bookmakers out there who were offering offers and promotions that don't win. And ultimately, there's a reason behind that. Do you want to share a little bit without giving too much away? Because I want people to listen to your show, especially on this topic.
Yeah, so I like a bet, like a lot of people do. But I'd noticed over the years that a lot of these companies were offering these boosts, so to speak, I just thought I'm going to track these, just see how they do over the season. Spoiler alert, it's not been very successful for them.
It's been successful for the betting company. It's not been successful for consumers.
It wouldn't have been successful for the consumers, yeah. It's just the betting companies get bad name for good reason. I'm sure people have seen some of my tweets recently. I must be on Bet365's watch list because they're just, any bet I put on now, they have to refer it to their traders. So I must be on a watch list with them. They obviously don't want you to succeed. I don't want to get into too much detail of it, to be honest.
You can write in good detail on your show, but
It's they get a bad rep because of things like this, and I just wanted to show people, why they're bad bets and things like that. I don't bet accumulators, for example, anymore. There's no point. That's what the bookies want you to do.
Hmm. And I think, where you're highlighting it is these boosts, these promotions, which look enticing, and to people who perhaps aren't that knowledgeable about the game but want to get into it, or people who like a bet, like you say, put these boosts on, think, well, that's attractive. I can see the logic, quote unquote, behind it. But as you say, I think you mentioned that the touchdown treble on a particular betting company hasn't won at all this season. It's not hit at once. No.
Right. I did highlight last night as well, the one from week 8, for example, was a 6-1 boost, but you could get 7-1 at Betfair. So how's it a boost?
Yeah. It's enticing people to bet on their platform and misleading them, thinking they're getting a better offer when actually they're not. So there's two good lessons there. If the bookies are putting something out there for you to bet on, it's because they want you to bet on it. So ultimately, just be a bit careful. Do your research. Not saying don't bet it, but there's a reason it's out there. So make sure you look into it. And the second thing is price mark that against every other betting company. Make sure you're getting the best price on it.
I have to say, I've got a general rule. If a betting company wants you to do something, do the complete opposite.
Well, there you go.
That's my rule.
Actionable advice here on Fire Rush, as always. I think it's important, and I'm really wanting to highlight it because I don't bet. I've not bet for over five years, and it's a personal thing, right? And it's not a bad thing. It's just I felt enough is enough, and I stopped enjoying sports because I bet on it too much, and I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose my house or anything like that. It was not a significant thing. It was just it got to the point where the betting took over the enjoyment of the sport, and I just went, nah, I'm out. I just rather enjoy the sport, and that's a personal choice. And I just think people just willy-nilly give money to bookies. I think it's just about being a bit sharper, and people like you are out there doing consumer advice work, because effectively people don't check these. People just think, oh, well, that looks good because so-and-so has scored 4 of the last 6 games, or so-and-so, this looks like a good matchup on paper. Oh, I think this might work. And then actually there is a reason why they put this together. It's because they don't want you to win. Bookies put these bets on because they don't want you to win.
And it's just very dangerous content. Me and you are, quite savvy, so to speak. People have got addiction to gambling, it's not something to be laughed at. Things like this encourage it. It's very it's what I was calling it on the show last night. It's dangerous content.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. It's set to trap for people who don't know they're being put into a trap, and it's not giving them fair advice. And ultimately it's about fairness. It's about putting a point of view across. I'm not against bookmakers making boosts or bets or suggestions, but there has to be the right context that's laid in. And as you say, at times it's not, and it is dangerous content, as you say, and people who just get caught up in it and it doesn't land. And you just think, okay, it's time to start. And you've got to hold them accountable, as you said, the touchdown treble 0-8 this season. You know, it says it all.
So someone did say to me it goes back to the middle of last year for the last time it hit. So
you're looking at like double digits.
Yes.
So yeah, you're looking at 15, 16 in a row it's not hit. I mean, that's disgraceful, really, if it's that bad. It's like,
yep.
You know, you got to start thinking, and you're going to start thinking negatively about it. So there you go. If nothing else, if nobody gets anything else out of the next like 45 to 50 minutes of the show, you know, just don't trust the bookies at their word. Just do it because you're reading. But also check out Jack's show because it is amazing. And like, I don't bet, but I still find tips and advice that you give actionable. And I don't play DFS. I don't play DFS because I don't bet. But ultimately, I still find tidbits and things that make me sharper. And it will make you sharper in season long. It makes you sharper in dynasty, but it will also make you incredibly sharper if you play DFS. And you're doing great work promoting the new Fantasy Game Day app as well. And
thank you.
The game's on there. So you're giving people advice. And I know people have won. I know Matt Cullen, friend of yours and I's in the show, you know, took down his first ever week. And that's because he listened to your advice. So I can't give the show a high enough praise or plug. So do check out. And I love everyone on there. You know, if you've been listening to this network for a few years, Nick and Mark were on here originally, but it made sense to join you, and I'm glad that you guys are producing the content you are, because you're doing great work. So
thank you.
I appreciate it, and I know the community does, and more people should definitely listen. But let's get into last week. It was an interesting week. Obviously, we had a lot of injuries. There's been a lot of things happen. Trade deadline, you know, I think you and I were pretty confident there wasn't going to be anything too significant from a fantasy perspective that was going to happen. Josh Dobbs being the surprise, I guess, because I think I don't quite get this. I talked about this yesterday. The scheme fit doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. I don't quite understand why that happened, but whatever, it's happened. But, you know, if you believe Derrick Henry was going to go, and if you believed you know, the hype that the NFL media train wanted you to believe for offense trades, it didn't happen. And it wasn't going to happen. It never happens. It has never happened in any year previously. And I like how NFL media were trying to group transactions from like 5 weeks ago into like the trade deadline, like JC Jackson. Like, oh yeah, he's back in New England. Yeah, he signed after like week 3 or 4. Like that's old news. He's been back playing. Like,
yep.
You list 7 transactions and 3 of them have happened in the last, like, in like 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Like, so you have 4 transactions and most of them defensive. So regardless, but we did lose Kirk Cousins to season ending Achilles tear, which is a nightmare. And they've inherited Josh Dobbs, which is terrible. We lost Jimmy Garoppolo to being crap.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. But it is for some fantasy owners, especially Superflex in particular. And then we've lost Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler have gone. So there's been quite a bit of change since last week. But what were some of the things in terms of from week 8 that really sort of surprised you from some fantasy points of view?
Tony Pollard's usage. I had a lot of Tony Pollard in DFS last week, and the usage put me on full tilt, I'm going to admit now. So the Cowboys were up by 30 points at halftime, and Pollard, through the whole game, just got 53 yards. He played just 65% of the snaps. That was the second lowest percentage of snaps that he'd seen all season. Rico Dowell played a season high 35% of the snaps, and Tony Pollard is fifth worst in NFL in rush yard over expectation. To put it into, you know, he's around guys like Latavius Murray, people like that. I'm very concerned for him. I'm wondering if it's still an injury issue from last year, where he's still coming off that injury. Or is he just dust? Was he the one who needed Zeke around?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I think it's a combination of a few things. There's definitely something up that the coaching staff aren't being honest with. He's already amassed 160 touches this year in 7 games. Yep. So it's a significant pace. He's on pace for like 370 touches. No, maybe not like quite that much. Let me do the maths quickly. be good if I use the right button. He's on pace for 388. Oh, wasn't that far. 388, 389 touches, which isn't going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. Nobody sustains that kind of usage. I think the pack, I think the Cowboys have come to this realization of that whilst they're not taking anything for granted because we're less than half a season through, especially for them, they are going to make the playoffs because the NFC is that bad. They're not going to win their division, but they're going to make the playoffs. It's either the fifth seed or the sixth seed. I think it's been tossed between them and Seattle. Whether or not people are openly admitting that in Dallas. So I think they've got a good back in Rico Dowdle. He's shown some ability. I think they're going to start capping Tony Pollard's usage, ultimately. And I think he's probably not 100%. Because there's three of the last 4 weeks, less than 10 fantasy points. I definitely think there's a thing there. But I think they ultimately, last season we saw the Zeke-Pollard combination. I think they want to go back to that. I think they want to give Dowdle some work between the 20s. I still think Pollard will get all the high-value touches. I still think he's going to be an RB1 for the rest of the season. And I actually think it's good news for Tony Pollard. Because ultimately, if he goes on pace for nearly 390 touches, he's going to break. So actually, I don't mind in games where there is a blowout. Yes, it's annoying from a fantasy perspective as fantasy owners. And yes, he's not hit that 10-point mark. But ultimately, I don't want him blowing out in the championship weeks.
Yep.
If you've got Tony Pollard on your team, your fantasy team is probably in good shape for the season. It's probably not. You're probably at worst 500. So I think actually it's a good thing that they're trying to cap his usage a little bit, but not. But last week was too much, probably. But ultimately, I think they're playing safe with him. But they're not
put me on full tilt last week. I'm going to admit it really did. I played a lot of him in DFS, and then I just obviously perfect game script environment, up 30 points at halftime. You think right, this is just going to be run the hell out of the ball now with Tony Pollard. And yeah, I mean, 53 yards, nothing in the receiving game. They just kept going to CeeDee Lamb the whole game. They were just burning that Rams defense to CeeDee Lamb. I do have slight concerns with it. And maybe you're right. Maybe he gets a bit of a boost towards the back end of the season going into the playoffs for them. But that's not going to help anyone as any fantasy managers out there, is it?
No, I still think he's a top 12 fantasy back for the rest of the season. But I think the big weeks that he got very early on in the season, I think they're gone. I think unless he breaks off big runs, I think the 25 plus point weeks are dead. I think they are realistically dead. So I think in DFS, I would, I don't play, but I would find it hard for a guy who I can see role shrinking and potentially being capped. I don't see the value in playing him for the value that he's going to cost. I don't see it like for the rest of the season. And I think in the fantasy playoffs, he will come good. The schedule's not bad. But again, I think the worry I have in the fantasy playoffs with someone like Tony Pollard is we get to like week 15, week 16, and the Cowboys have stamped their place in the playoffs. Because that's a very realistic outcome because the NFC is quite bad. And if it's the case of the Eagles have run away with the division, and there's no division title to play for, they're effectively playing for fifth versus sixth seed. I don't think they're going to care. I just like fifth and sixth is not a big enough difference. You're playing on the road. You know, the only advantage you might have is if you get fifth, you get to play the winner of the NFC South, which is a crap division. And it probably is like a bye. So it's not a bad. Maybe that's a prize worth winning. Maybe. But I think it's going to be a tough one. Play him. I think I've saw some sites where they've got him as like rest of season 3-4. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I've said this in previous seasons. I've talked about players who are on historical high touch counts. We always see this regression second half of the season. He, 160 touches in 7 games is significant. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, it is.
So
yeah.
I don't see him getting. And as you say, he's not run the ball brilliantly. As you say, rushing yards.
They keep running him up the gut, don't they, as well? That's the, and he's not.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that. For me, he's not that type of runner.
But also, the big difference in Dallas last year was they had Kellen Moore. And they were a hyper-efficient offense, especially in the red zone, and especially rushing in the red zone. They were a hyper efficient, like historically one of the all time best teams in the red zone and rushing in the red zone. There was always going to be a regression anyway. Then you lose him, you lose Kellen Moore, and you put in, you know, it's not Schottenheimer, it's in, I was getting mixed up. Can't remember, but I talked about him earlier in the previous show. And it's just, you know, it's basically the McCarthy offense of the Packers from 10 years ago. It's the same offense with the same similar-ish personnel, and he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. So we know it's a pretty ploddy, pretty pedestrian offense that, yes, looked amazing against the Rams, but that's because CeeDee Lamb is amazing. He makes plays. Yeah.
And that Rams secondary is awful.
And it is. It's a terrible... It was just a dream matchup. So, I'm not surprised by that. One of the things I was surprised about, I don't know about you, was we knew that Kenneth Walker was banged up, and we knew that Zach Charbonnet might be increased role. But I've been saying for weeks, I thought that there might be some snow on the horizon that eventually he might become a thing in this offense, but I didn't expect him to run routes at 58% of the snaps. I thought that was a really significant way of saying, okay, I now see how they're going to use Zach Charbonnet. Were you a bit surprised by his overall usage or?
Yes and no. I mean, Kenneth Walker's got a soft tissue injury, I believe. And Charbonnet's work come in the second half, most of it, didn't it? In the second half of that game.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not surprised as that. Do I see that going forward? I mean, this Pete Carroll's a weird one, isn't he, with running backs? We've seen this in the past with, you know, when he had Chris Carson, Thomas Rawls. Remember those days?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God. Like, I mean, the guy was just, you know, flip-flopping all these running backs around. And what I do like with Seattle is that they will ride the hot hand. So if Charbonnet obviously proved to them that he can carry that rock like he did against a good Cleveland defense as well in the second half of that game. So I think it's probably more of that and more to the fact that Kenneth Walker is dealing with a soft tissue injury, which is, you know, something to monitor definitely going forward. That.
Yeah. And as I said on yesterday's show, and I'll say it now, what I just said for Tony Pollard goes exactly the same for Kenneth Walker, a guy who's on a ridiculous touch rate. I'm going to pull it up. But again,
he's been quite inefficient this year, though, hasn't he, Kenneth Walker?
Yeah, he's not been. At times. Yeah, earlier in the season, before the injury, kind of soft tissue injury you mentioned, he was definitely more efficient and he's stepping backwards. So yeah, we're talking about Kenneth Walker has 145 touches. So not quite as many Pollard, but still a significant amount. And again, that's over seven games. So again, he's on pace for 350-ish touches. So again, I see the same scenario. The Seattle Seahawks are going to make the playoffs, barring an injury to Geno Smith and they end up having someone really stuck at quarterback. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
I can't see a scenario where the Seattle Seahawks, other than that scenario, I can't really see a scenario where they don't make the playoffs again. And I think they challenge Dallas. I think they're 5-6. They're not going to win their division. The 49ers will win their division. So again, it's just a question of making the wild card. They're not going to be the seventh seed because the seventh seed will limp in. So it's going to be between those two, who's going to be 5, who's going to be 6. And I think, again, you're going to see a drop off of Kenneth Walker because they want to keep him fit for the playoffs.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see an increase in Charbonnet because Charbonnet drafted him high. He's a high value pick. They see him as a valuable piece of this offense. And I compared Charbonnet to a Rashard Penny of last season light. Not quite those explosive weeks, but I think you're going to see Zach Charbonnet have these weeks where I think he will outscore Kenneth Walker, but I think it will be down the stretch. I think you'll see it 50-50, and then I think you might see Walker tail off a cliff. And if you're an owner of Walker for the fantasy playoffs, I would be marginally concerned.
I would be trying to sell him, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly that. I think if you can get out of the Kenneth Walker business now, I think that might be something to do, because I do think Zach Charbonnet, and if you've got Zach Charbonnet still on the show, hold him or try and trade for him live, because I think there you're going to see a spike week come week 13, week 14. And I think he could take over, and it's not because of talent. It would just be because of opportunity and preserving Walker for the playoffs.
Yep. No,
and nice make sure he's healthy. So anything else that sort of surprised you in week eight?
I don't know if it surprised me. I thought this was going to happen anyway, but Javonte Williams looks like a, I'm not going to say must buy because we hate that word on our show, but I think he's a buy going forward. I think he could be a potential league winner going down the stretch. He looks healthy, sort of. Oh, I am trusting Sean Payton here as well. So that's, I can't wait for the Adam Troutman experience next week that we're going to see probably. Right, but
absolutely.
But yeah, no, I do like Javonte Williams. I mean, it was a season high snaps, wasn't it? Count last week. So yeah, I do like him going forward. I don't think it wasn't a surprise to me though to see it.
Yeah, it was. It was to me. Sort of. It was and it wasn't. I called it because of the game and the weather and you know, those aspects of things were why I thought he had a significantly high role. I still, again, we're talking about players who haven't been efficient. Javonte Williams hasn't been efficient. Jaleel McLaughlin is the player on that roster who is. I just don't trust Sean Payton to give him the workload. I think he. The one thing I think we'll both agree is Shemaja Perine is not a thing. Like, he can go off any roster.
I think I think they tried to trade him, didn't they? Anyway,
on that one took him.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what happens, and trusting that Broncos historically bad offense will be interesting. I tell you what was surprising to me was to see Mike Boone getting snaps. Like, I thought we were done with Mike Boone, but apparently he keeps coming back. He's like one of those zombies in Shaun of the Dead that just, no matter what, just keeps coming back. And he's now come back to really, if nothing else, just ruin Dameon Pierce and Dameon Pierce fantasy owners. Because it's ridiculous.
No, I was going to say, I think the writing was on the wall with that anyway from the previous week. Devin Singletary outsnapped Dameon Pierce anyway, didn't he, the previous week. So they clearly don't want to give Dameon Pierce the rock. I mean, Mike Boone in 2023, him being a dynasty darling a few years back.
Exactly that, right? So like in week eight, Dameon Pierce had 43% of the snaps, Devin Singletary 40% of the snaps, Mike Boone had 17% of the snaps. But Mike Boone's route run rate was the same as Devin Singletary's, 31% compared to Dameon Pierce's 24. Dameon Pierce still had the most touches. It was 12 to 10 to 1. But ultimately, Mike Boone got a target. Devin Singletary got two. Dameon Pierce got none. Mike Boone is just going to just water this down even more to the point where I don't want any of them. Like, if you can get out of, and I tried to get out of it and got caught a few times earlier today, trading Dameon Pierce, if you can get something usable for him, get him out of your roster because he's finished. Don't pick up Singletree. I saw so much advice in week eight of picking up Devin Singletree, and I was like, why? Why would you add him? He's not going to take over the role. He's going to, at best, be a 50-50 part of a team that are going to let CJ Stroud throw the ball 50 times a game.
The thing is, they like to use Tank Dell in rushing scenarios as well, don't they, the Texans? So, like, it's a mental backfield. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats here. Like, Dameon Pierce, 46 yards. Singletree, 30. Tank Dell, 15. Yeah. CJ Stroud, 13. Mike Boone, 5. Andrew Beck, 1.
Oh, yeah, but he got both the goal line carries. So he scored. So he didn't get in on the first
one. Wow.
So they gave the ball back to him on the very next play, and he got in on the next play. So he's like the goal line back. Just to really mess with it. Yeah, just to really mess with the situation. Yeah. I completely forgot about Andrew. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he watched the game and he was like, yeah, so he didn't get in on the first carry, so they gave it back to him and he got in on the next carry. And you just think, that says it all. Because they want to, and I get it. Like, actually, from a coaching perspective, I really love it. It's, we've invested the second overall pick in CJ Stroud. The only way CJ Stroud gets better is to play and to throw the ball a heck of a lot. And we don't give a crap what he does this season. Like, we don't give a crap. He throw the ball 50 times a game, see what happens, let him get through his progressions. Let's just let him get good. Like, ultimately, you get good by doing. And they're like, well, if we lose 14 games this season, which they're not going to, so be it. Yep. Like, we don't care, because we're going to, they believe in him long term. So they've just, instead of putting him in a position to fail, they've gone out there and said, hey, don't worry about turning the ball over. Don't worry about throwing. And he hasn't thrown that many interceptions. I think he went first five games, he didn't throw one. Because he's been given that belief and that confidence of, we don't care. Like, if you throw a pick, it doesn't matter. Because we believe in you long term. It's like learning through doing. And I think I love the Texans for doing this. More should do it. Like, they're not putting the pressure on it. They took all the pressure off and just said, go nuts. And I think it dilutes the backfield and makes the backfield unworthy. But yeah.
No, you're 100% right, though, with this backfield. If Damian Pierce is not getting it done against the Panthers, then it's time to move on, because the Panthers have given up a ridiculous amount of touchdowns to running backs this season.
Yeah. The fact they're giving it to Andrew Beck says it all, right? So,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and then the other thing I was going to mention was Trey McBride's 38% target share. Whew.
Yeah, I mean...
that's monstrous.
That touchdown, I don't know how that... As I said on our show last night, I don't know how that play did not get called dead when they literally scrummed him into the end zone at the end of that game. That was mental. But yeah, he was a big favourite of ours in our DFS group, actually. We were all on him. He was dirt cheap on DraftKings. He was $2,800, which is way too cheap. So, like, I have a little rule with my... I play free max, and I lock three guys into all three lineups. He was one of them guys. Like, I was just like, I don't care. This guy's getting locked in. And, you know, he, like you say, the target share was there. Since Zach Ertz has gone down, you know, he's getting all the work. And I think it's something to monitor, though, with Kyler Murray coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think we know he's going to be back, probably not this week, but probably the week after. It looks like he'll be back. But I think five of the eight games this season, the tight end has had 10 or more targets, whether that's Zach Ertz or now Trey McBride. But yeah, it's, they clearly have a plan, and it's to throw it short or get it to Marquise Brown.
So you're saying TJ Hockenson's about to go nuclear in the second half of the season for the Vikings?
Well, do you know what? Logic-wise, it suggests that is the case. But Josh Dobbs is so anti what Kevin O'Connell wants to do in Minnesota. I don't get it. Like, this is what I mean from a scheme fit. It made no sense. Like, we've invested in all these big weapons, and what we've done is we've removed the run game. Since he's been there, we let Dalvin Cook go. We don't trust Alexander Mattison fully. So we bought Cam Akers in, but we're going to give him a restricted run game to move the chains. But ultimately, our main goal is to get the ball vertically down the field, and we're going to give it to Jefferson or Addison or Hockenson. And that's what they've invested in. Big weapons going downfield, making plays. And then they go and get a quarterback who has got absolutely no interest or ability to throw the ball down the field. Like, Jameis Winston made sense. Even Carson Wentz, who I'm not that big a fan on, would have made some sense, because he will throw the ball. Even Matt Ryan from the booth. Hey, give him a call. I know he's probably, his arm's dead, but he can probably still hoik it further than bloody Josh Dobbs can. Like, I've not seen anything this season that suggests Josh Dobbs is going to get that ball downfield to Jordan Addison, to Justin Jefferson. So, yeah, I think maybe TJ Hockenson might go nuclear, because I can't see where it's going to go vertically outside the numbers.
It could go to the running backs, though, couldn't it? Like, you could, I think Akers will take over. I think Akers does take over that backfield sooner rather than later as well.
Yeah. Well, again, we're talking about running back efficiency. He's one of only three running backs who are averaging a yard per carry under expected with Ramadre Stevenson and Rashad White. So, yeah, in theory, that should work out. But
yeah,
I still actually think they could lean massive. It could it be interesting, but I do think both those guys are massive arrow ups from the Josh Dobbs news.
Yeah.
What's your sort of, do you have a main learning from last week you're taking away and applying to this week's lineups and going forward?
Not really. I mean, just, are you talking DFS wise or normal fantasy?
Anything at all, any lessons at all, both, neither.
For DFS wise, I need to get away from late swapping. So for people that don't know what late swapping is, you'll put someone that's in the 9 o'clock games our time in the flex spot on DraftKings, so you can, if your lineup's sort of doing okay, but you want to get off a bit of the chalk in the mains, in the late slate there, you can swap onto someone else. And unfortunately for me last week, I swapped off of the Gus Bus and Trey McBride to in one of my lineups, which was very this lineup was a big heavy game stack of Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, and I brought Logan Thomas back on the other side. So the team was going nuclear anyway. And then I swapped off Gus Bus and Trey McBride to Isaiah Pacheco, which was a bad, bad move. And
but it made sense rationale with the game script, with the weather and everything. Logic-wise, it made sense.
Yeah, I just wanted to. I wanted to get off the Gus Bus, for example, because I just didn't trust him. I don't trust that Ravens running game anyway. But Nick was on it. Like he was saying, oh, you know, I think he'd be fine against the Cardinals, and you know, Nick was proven right. I was proven wrong. I went to Pacheco because I just wanted the safer floor of Pacheco. I thought Pacheco would give me that safe floor in that game. Yeah. Like you say, the game script environment was perfect. But so yeah, I need to. Within my DFS process, I need to trust my gut and move away from, you know, I put them guys in there initially at the start of the day because I thought they'd do okay, and I need to stay away from late swapping. It cost me a bit of money.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think we're all guilty of that in all streams of things, changing it like 5 to 6 and whatever. So I'm with you on that one. Mine is literally before 6 p.m. on Sunday, I'm going to say a little prayer to make sure that no more of my quarterbacks or running backs get injured, because it seems to be that I'm pretty much running. Like, I'm in leagues where I'm rolling out Aiden O'Connell because I've got literally no one else. So, it's a nightmare. It's definitely similar to last season where there's lots of running backs, a lot of quarterbacks getting injured. But unfortunately, the replacement level is so poor where literally you're relying on, like, I think Sam Howe is the best option out there, and he probably isn't out there anymore. In 1QB leagues, in core, like super flex leagues, yeah, you're rolling out Aiden O'Connell or Jaren Hall. You dropped $100, all your fab on Jaren Hall in the Scott Fish Bowl this week.
Taylor Heineke.
Oh, sorry. You're right. You did drop it on Taylor Heineke, yeah.
Heineke, as his name.
Yeah, I picked up Aiden O'Connell for $25. I mean, I felt pretty bad doing it, but I thought, well, there's not going to be any more. So, because I had Jimmy Garoppolo as my QB3, so I'm like, well, I'm going to need someone. So at least I've got someone that plays. So that's my thing. Is not so much a learning, just an action item. Just start saying a prayer because I can't deal with any more injuries. I feel like I'll control it better that way. Statistical trends. I've got a list here of a few. Do you have any that you want to get out of the way first of all, like things that you want to monitor going forward from a usage perspective of certain players or anything out there that you think is big?
No, I mean, I think I sort of said the one, I think the Javonte Williams one was the one that I mentioned earlier. So, the floor is yours, Murph.
I'll rattle through a few of these, and I'm keen to get your opinion on these. I mean, you've already given your seal of approval to Trey McBride, but he ran routes 86% of the time, season high. His previous was 51, which is quite a massive jump. His targets per route run is at 39%. Which is massive. So effectively, he's the first read in that offense when he's running a route. So,
yeah.
most of the time, which is a really significant trend. So like you get this first read stat. I like it, but I prefer targets per route run because they're earned as opposed to first read, which isn't always earned. So yeah, he's just having a huge game, and I think it's going to be the same going forward. I talked about Demario Douglas yesterday. Some massive numbers, 84% routes run, 26% targets per route run. So Juju's not a thing. Devontae Parker's not going to be a thing. It's all about Demario Douglas moving forward.
Yep.
Check your Quentin Johnston because, yes, he had 22% targets per route run, which is season high across board and really good. But it's not a stupidly high number. And then the 66% of routes in a game that Josh Palmer was injured. Like people are thinking, oh, he's here. He's going to really be a big thing now. I'm checking it. It's not bad. It's a good sign, but it's not enough to make me want to put Quentin Johnston in a lineup this week.
I mean, Palmer was banged up in that game, wasn't he? He came into the game banged up, and then I actually sort of caught. I watched because it was an hour earlier that game, so I watched sort of the first quarter of that game, and then Palmer got hit on a play, like two or three plays in, and then went down again, went off the field. He did come back into the game again, but yeah, he's quite banged up, I think, at the minute, Palmer. So yeah, I think that's definitely one to monitor with the Chargers.
Yeah, I completely agree. One guy that really impressed me on Sunday, even with Mitch Trubisky throwing in the ball, was Deontay Johnson. 13.4 ADOT on his 14 targets and 188 air yards, which is the most of his entire career so far. So Deontay Johnson's back, baby. Like, I love this because I think he's already shown he's an elite receiver. He was the most open wide receiver last year. So it tells you he runs really good routes, and now they're just going to target him galore. Like, if you're a George Pickens owner, you've had your day. It's going to be curbed a bit. It's all going to go Deontay Johnson's way. He, for me, is a massive buy low candidate, although it might be hard to buy low on last week's performance. But if you can,
definitely. I was going to say, spoiler alert as well, he's my number one captain option on DraftKings tonight. So there you go, listeners. You've got a bit of that.
There we go. See? Reading great minds. Gabe Davis, this is really interesting. So I watched the game against the Buccaneers. 27% target per route run, which is good. But this is what's really key. 6.7 yard ADOT. So everyone thinks that Dalton Kincaid is like this, going to be this big breakout candidate now. He had a good performance. First of all, Bucks can't defend tight ends. Haven't done for about 3 or 4 years. Like, Todd Bowles is happy to let things go over the middle. We saw it in the Super Bowl. 31-9. Travis Kelce had a big game. But they don't care. They don't care about giving the ball up over the middle. It's more about stopping the big plays vertically and out wide. And if they can do that, they'll give you yards over the middle. And that's where Dalton Kincaid was always going to be a relatively good play. But it looks like Gabe Davis is getting a significant amount of the work that was vacated by Dawson Knox. So it's not exclusively all going to go to Dalton Kincaid, at least from this game. It might change. But I'm just going to halt the brakes a little bit on Dalton Kincaid breakout season, in the sense of from this ADOT, it's saying they're going to use Gabe Davis a lot in this sort of small intermediary kind of role that has been vacated by Knox. So,
well, they've just had their playoff Lenny as well, haven't they, now? The Bills. So, which is going to be probably their pass catching back, I would say. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
It could do. I think it will take some time to get up there. And I think it will depend on his attitude, because he's one of these players that if he's not playing, he's not a great... He's even admitted this himself. If you've watched America's game when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, he talked about how he's not... like, he just couldn't get into the mindset of not being a starter because he's been the guy everywhere he'd been. Yeah. And then getting cut from the Jaguars really dented him. Didn't deal with it. Like, Arians offered him, said, you can go. Like, you want to go, you can go. Like, I don't care. And I think he's not quite used to not being. And I think it's really hurt him that he didn't get signed until week 8.
Yeah.
I think that's dented his pride significantly. And I think it will be interesting. I think he could earn that role, but I think it will depend on his attitude. Ability-wise, he's head and shoulders above Latavius Murray.
I just before you move on with the Bills, just the Bills in general here, we mentioned this on the show each week about condensed offenses, trying to find the condensed, I think the Ravens have become a condensed offense between Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, very easy stacks for DraftKings and things like that. Whereas the Bills, there's so much of it there that you've got Diggs, you've got Davis, you've got Kincaid, you've got Knox when he comes back, you've got these running backs, like the running back situation has a mess. And now you've got Shakir as well. Exactly. So it's a hard offense. While they're all tied to one of the best quarterbacks in the game, like best fantasy quarterbacks as well, it's a hard offense to get a judge on outside of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've got a couple of lines here. Dalton Kincaid, season high, 87% routes, 7 targets as the only active tight end. And then Khalil Shakir, 73% routes as primary wide receiver 3, because the Bills went heavy on 11 personnel because they didn't use any other tight ends. So I think it'd be interesting to see if they continue in 11, then Shakir gets a boost. But I think as well, game script really suited Shakir. Game script and matchup against the Bucs, that really suited the way that they could use him. Because, you know, with Bowles, he's going to take Diggs out of the game as much as he can because he can scheme that. He's got the personnel and he's got the players to do it. But you can't cover everybody. And ultimately, Shakir was always going to look like a player who could come out of that with something significant. And Davis as well. So, yeah, I think you're right. It's a difficult offense to project. I think other than Diggs, it's hard to bet on these guys being fantasy value every week. I think it depends on the matchups. I think if you get a good matchup, then you could exploit it, but it's not
that
always
Shakir
a given
performance division, done my best balls the world of good. He was someone I just kept drafting him at the end of every draft. Every draft, he was just the guy I'd draft. So,
well, you nailed it. I think I've got like one or two shares of him in best ball, not much. I didn't want too much of the Bills' third wide receiver, but. For the reasons you mentioned, is it just didn't feel like you could trust it too often. But yeah, you will have the odd day where it works out. Joe Burrow is clearly healthier than he was before the bye. He was a lot more mobile in the pocket. Rushed for 43 yards off the 5 carries that weren't kneel downs. And he had 14 rushing yards in his first 6 games. So clearly he's a lot healthier. You can trust him a bit more going forward. The schedule opens up for him. It's not good the next 2 weeks, but afterwards it gets a lot better. Your guy, Javonte Williams, 63% of snaps, which is the second straight week he's had that. And he's the clear lead on the early down work with 27 of the 32 rush attempts, but he is splitting the passing down work. And I don't know how long he holds that role. I do think Jaleel McLaughlin will get a bit more, but I think between them, they could be fantasy relevant together. But I think the upside on Williams is capped.
He might just be the guy you need to get into the end zone at the end of the day. Right.
Yeah, I said on the Patreon cast that I think that Javonte Williams is someone I'd be shipping because I just don't buy this offense. And you know, he's had terrible performances until the last 2 weeks, and I think it could revert back to type, but I could easily be wrong there. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. One situation that's looking slightly more gloomy is Royce Freeman sort of going almost 50-50 with Darrell Henderson. So Royce Freeman led in snaps and routes, and he was more efficient than Darrell Henderson, even though Henderson had more touches. So I do think this is slightly closer to a 50-50. I think it's a moot point. You've got this week, and then you've got the bye, and then you've got the following week, and then Kyron Williams is back. So it's a 2 matchup in the next 3. But yeah, I do think Darrell Henderson is the only thing I'd say positive out of this. If you're Kyron Williams or not, I think he comes in and obliterates them both. I think he literally will go back to, if he's fit, if he's healthy, unless the Rams have decided, hey, we're just going to give up this season and we're going to rest Kyron Williams, I think he could come back and earn like almost all the touches again, like he did before. So
agreed.
The only reason he wouldn't is if he's not healthy or the Rams decide to sack it off and rest him, which would be the smart thing to do, but they don't always do the smart thing. JSN, 66% of routes. So he fell backwards to his season average. He's got a horrific... I wrote this up on Fantasy Pros, which is going to go live either tonight or tomorrow. He's got the worst wide receiver cornerback matchup of everyone on the board this week. So don't play JSN this week. Just avoid him like the plague. Against Baltimore, like he is not a play this week at all. So avoid him massively. But he did have the first straight game of at least 9 yards per target, which is nice. But yeah, 4 targets. He had an air dot of 0, which I think is impressive.
They keep mixing in the other rookie as well, don't they? Bobo.
Jake Bobo. Looks good.
Yeah,
especially in the red zone as well. Talked about Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Kenneth Walker only ran 29% of routes, but again, we've kind of covered that. Aaron Jones, 50% of snaps, so good because it was season high and he seems to be healthy, but he's clearly not all the way there yet, so just be a bit careful. Your guy, Saquon Barkley, 87% snaps in the game where they wound up rushing the ball 52 times.
Yeah, I mean, that game, how they kept it that close and nearly won it, and they should have won it. I don't know how they lost it in the end, but it's not something I want to go back and watch, put it that way.
Listen, I'm just cannot believe that on my CV I get to put that I had more receiving yards than the entire wide receiver corps of the New York Giants in their Week 8 defeat to the Jets. I've never thought I could put a stat like that on the CV, but I can now because the entire receiving corps got -1 and I got 0. So, you know,
I think Dimes is back soon, but potentially this week, which would be better for the whole offense as a whole. And I'm not Daniel Jones's biggest fan, put it that way.
Well, I do have, if you follow Pat Doherty on Twitter, he did put out this tweet earlier, which I'm sorry to say I'm going to do this because you're here. The Giants and their $160 million quarterback are 1.5-point underdogs against a team that just fired its coach, GM, offensive coordinator, and benched its quarterback.
They'll beat the Raiders this week. There you go.
They should.
My take. They'll beat the Raiders and play the Raiders DST on DraftKings. There you go. Not the Raiders, the Giants DST. Sorry.
Yeah, Giants DST. But you get the Giants +1.5 right now.
Yeah, well, that's a good bet. It's a good bet.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the Gus Bus. He had all 5 touches inside the 10, which was for running backs, which is the 3rd week in a row he's had all the touches inside the 10. And yeah, those 3 touchdowns. So he's the full goal line back. Justice Hill, not clearly part of that role anymore. Donovan Peoples-Jones. So he really sort of makes... he's now really like messing things up in Detroit. So terrible news for Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds owners. Basically, we talked about teams with narrow stacks is where you should go, narrow offenses. Yeah. Detroit's is far too complicated now. So, you know, the fact that now Donovan Peoples-Jones is getting in the mix and he's going to hog from Williams, who's hogging from Reynolds, like effectively, unless it's Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, who have very fixed roles, that's a murky situation, probably one best to avoid as much as possible.
Even the running backs are going to be murky there going forward. Montgomery's back soon. And I say this on our show every week, they tell you what they want to do with running backs. So it's a mess.
Absolutely. Sam Howell took just 1 sack while throwing 52 times for 397 yards and 4 TDs, which is like impressive considering this was against the Eagles. So it's a massive thing for them. I think for them it's huge that he's out there. I said he's the quarterback to own now on the waiver wire on Monday. He clearly is. Like, he's gonna give you upside. Yes, he's gonna have bad weeks, but ultimately he's a rookie, he's gonna have bad weeks or second year player or whatever he is.
But I totally agree with you. They're gonna be involved in shootouts going down the stretch. Their defense now, Chase Young has gone, Montez Sweat's gone as well. The secondary was awful anyway. So they're just going to be involved in shootouts going forward. And, you know, he's looked impressive at times. And like you say, last week against the Eagles, that is an impressive stat line.
Yeah, really impressive. And, he's had 2 bad weeks this season. But you know what? You just got to ride it. He's the best guy you're going to get if you've lost Kirk Cousins. And Adam Thielen, 11 more low A-dot targets. So, listen, he's going to be a guy that is going to get this sort of really crappy work that is going to be highly fantasy relevant in PPR leagues and DFS. So it's just more the nod that Adam Thielen is a thing. He's going to be a continued thing for the rest of the season because he's clearly the Bryce Young safety valve, which is fine. So I'm for it, but I'm just saying that some people don't like it.
My best balls like it.
There you go. My Scott Fishbowl team likes it as well. really appreciate you coming on, mate. I think there's a lot of stuff here to break down. I think ultimately it was a bad week for the waiver wire. I don't think there's too much going forward on the waiver wire that you can really sort of cherry pick. But I think from a DFS perspective, I hope a lot of this helps. Even though I'm not a DFS guy, I do think it's important to understand the matchups. But appreciate you coming on. Tell everyone where they can find you, interact with you, where they can find the podcast and anything that you've got coming on the next couple of weeks that is going to be well worth people tuning in.
So you can find me on the Twitter or the X, as it's now known, at Jack Humphrey DFS. The podcast is Touchdowns for Doe. Just search for that. It's in my bio anyway, so just head over to me and you'll find me there and the podcast there. We've got a good couple of weeks coming up. Next week, we're going to be doing something that we've wanted to do for a while in regards to contest selection in DFS. So if you're struggling with DFS, if you've been playing it a couple of times this year and perhaps you're not winning a lot, we think we can get you on the right path with the contest selection segment that we're going to have on next week's show. It's going to be, you know, and as I say, go back and listen to all the other shows. They're all timeless. There's no picks and things like that in there. They're all strategy based and full of useful information.
Absolutely. Not to mention, you guys are all brilliant. Even Mark, who did compare me to some form of mafia boss a couple of weeks ago, when you had Ben Isaacs on, which I recommend people to go and listen on. If nothing else, it paints me out to be some kind of amazing undercover hitman type bloke, which couldn't be further from the truth, but I appreciated it. I didn't even bother to correct too much of it on Twitter, except for the one or two things, simply because it made me look a lot better than I actually am. So I was happy.
You should hear what he calls me anyway, so don't, I won't worry about it.
I don't know. I love Mark to pieces. He's an absolute gent. But look, Rush Nation, appreciate it. It's been a lot of good shows this week, a lot of content to digest. Tune in tomorrow for the Fast Action Friday, guys. But you've got, you know, four or five shows already this week in the can. So stay tuned and join those. Also, as I mentioned yesterday, you can join our Patreon just for £1 a month. And you can get access to the strategy pod in even more detail. I go on for about 1 hour and 8 minutes this week about all the different strategies and tips that you can use to get into your playoffs. So make sure you subscribe to that. And don't forget that the show is brought to you by Manscaped. So make sure you check out manscaped.com and use the code 5YardRush for 20% off plus free shipping. But from Jack and from me, thank you very much, as always, for joining in and interacting and liking and subscribing to the pod. But until then, Rush Nation, don't forget, as always, keep rushing.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.